Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by a comic shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and to learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the borough of Queens, in the city of New York, this is the Epic Podcast with your hosts, Nelson Lugo and Schaefer, the Dark Lord.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you from the beautiful and spacious Studio 6C in Astoria, Queens, this is the Epic Podcast, episode 48. I am your host, Nelson Lugo.
I am your other host, Schaefer the Dark Lord.
And we are back, nerds and nerdettes, dudes and dudettes, ladies, gentlemen, ladies, lady gentlemen, and everyone else in between.
Nelson Lugo, you're here.
And I'm here, yes.
So nice to have you back this month for the full episode.
All right, that's right, I'm on time. That's a callback to when I was late.
See episode 47.
Yes. You know what? I want to keep this part of the podcast a little bit short because we actually have an exciting interview coming up. So what do you want to talk about, Schaefs?
Well, gosh, it's the end of October. It's almost November. Yep. I know I made a vow several episodes ago I would try to not acknowledge the month that this gets released because most people are going to listen to it a few days later, but I don't give a shit. Happy Halloween!
Happy Halloween!
This is Halloween. This is Halloween. 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 Blah, blah, blah.
I love Halloween.
I do too.
I love it so fucking
much. Oh, how much do you love it?
I love it so much. I actually created a thing.
I saw your thing.
Last year, as a joke, I decided I was going to rewrite the lyrics to the 12 Days of Christmas and post a new lyric every single day leading up to Halloween. But I started really early. Like I started like around October 7th or something. And by like October 15th, I got bored with the joke, and so I didn't want to do it anymore. So I just basically just posted the entire thing and then just let it go.
I remember.
Then a really wonderful friend of mine named Stephanie Pouillard. I hope I'm getting that correct.
You probably aren't.
I'm probably
You're terrible with names.
I am. I'm probably mangling her name, but she is lovely. She is an expat living in London. And she decided to do something really, really kind for me. And she actually recorded my lyrics to the music of the 12 Days of Christmas and sent it to me as a gift.
Aww.
And it was already late in October, so I couldn't really do anything with it. And I just kind of like kept it as for myself as this neat little present that I got to have out of a thing that I created and she put music to. Then this year, I decided, you know what? I'm going to do something with it. I'm going to do something really crazy.
Oh, you slept on that recording for a year?
For a whole year. And I decided I was going to do something really dumb and really silly and really goofy. And I decided I was going to make a music video using her lyrics and this hodgepodge of Halloween props that I've gathered over the years. And so it's been, as of today, as of this recording, it was released. It's called The 13 Days of Halloween, lyrics by Nelson Lugo, vocals by Stephanie Pouillard. Check the show notes.
We'll put it up in the show notes. You can see it. It's great.
I like it. I think it's dumb and makes me giggle.
Oh, it's adorable.
Yeah. It gets the Schaefer stamp of approval.
So you got a recording back from somebody you're collaborating with, and then you didn't do anything with it. You slept on it for a year.
Yeah.
You know, in my line of work, in the nerdcore community, that's called business as usual. We sleep on stuff for so long.
No, but you know what? You didn't this time, because you just released a thing with a whole bunch of rappers.
Okay, so, all right.
And that took you, what, four days?
It was basically one for the Nerdcore record books.
Yes.
Last week on Jeopardy, one of the contestants, who Susan Cole,
sure,
who had a four-day run.
Sure.
Took home a lot of money. During the interviewing the contestant segments, she said that her favorite genre of music was nerdcore hip hop. So Alex Trebek asked her, what is nerdcore hip hop?
Sure,
she explained that it's rap music from people who identify as nerdy, who are rapping about video games and science fiction and difficulty finding romantic partners, etc.
Yeah.
And then Alex Trebek quipped, "Oh, losers, in other words." So
he did follow up that by saying, "I'm just teasing."
Oh, I'll remember that next time somebody insults you online and follows it up with, "It's just a joke."
Well, come on. Alex Trebek doesn't have a mean bone in his entire body.
I'm not taking issue with Alex Trebek. I'm taking issue with the defense of, just kidding.
Fair enough. Okay. Fair enough.
So anyway, I didn't get my feelings hurt by this. I don't care.
No, but why would you?
But the nerdcore scene was set ablaze by it.
Yes, it was.
Megaran then recorded a 12-bar verse that he delivered a cappella into his phone and posted that online. That clip response went viral.
Oh, wow.
MC Chris posted some status about it that went kind of viral, and then it started getting press. Uproxx, BuzzFeed.
Really?
Entertainment Weekly.
What?
Spin.
Holy shit.
TMZ.
Are you fucking kidding
All
me?
All of these sites started running this story about how Alex Trebek insulted this obscure genre of dork music, and the scene rose up and responded.
Sure, blah, blah, blah. Sure.
For all of the press that this has gotten, and for all of the whatever Alex Trebek said and how it enraged fans of nerdcore,
right?
I got to give him props, and mostly I got to give Susan Cole props for saying nerdcore hip hop on TV.
Sure, that's one.
And also for killing it at Jeopardy. What up, Susan Cole?
Yeah, 4 days. That poof.
Yeah. I gotta give the whole thing props because I have not seen the nerdcore community this unified in years. Once upon
Over
a time,
anything, yes.
Once upon a time when there were like a dozen of us, we were like all really tight, and then the scene kind of grew and there became a lot more rappers, and then of course everybody's beefs and egos got the better of them, and then there were fights and feuds and people don't work with one another and blah blah blah, like any artistic community.
Yeah, exactly.
See burlesque. And
egos and entitlements, and I get it. Yeah.
But it got a bunch of us like kind of fired up. And so one of my peers reached out to a bunch of us and said, "Hey, why don't we write a posse track responding to the Alex Trebek thing, and we'll all team up." And it happened.
Yeah.
With 13 rappers.
It's epic.
With a music video.
It's epic.
I cannot stress enough how unusual it is to get 13 rappers to give 13 rappers a deadline and say
of like 24 hours
and say you got to get this done with a video clip and have them all pull it off. Again, like, there are songs that I have not finished that I've been sleeping on for a year and people that I work with who've been sleeping on stuff that I've sent them for a year,
right?
And this thing got turned around by the end of the following weekend. It is a 13 rapper posse cut that features MC Frontalot, Beefy, MC Hawking, Richie Branson, Michael Kill, Samus, Whitey Cracker, Dualcore, Jesse Dangerously, MC Lars, Megaran, Dr. Awkward, and me.
Fucking fuck.
And it's a cute song.
Yeah, I actually like it. I like it a lot.
It's
really snappy and really catchy.
It's what you would expect a diss track from the old brigade of, like, the new crew, the new guard in nerdcore, younger rappers. Like, they're probably a lot more mean-spirited with one another.
Sure.
I mean, I've seen some mean-spirited feuds in nerdcore, don't get
me
wrong.
Of course.
But this particular crew, it's a lot of the older guys and like some newer blood like Richie Branson and Samus.
Sure.
But for 13 of us dissing him, nobody's really that mean.
No, not at all. It's actually very tongue-in-cheek. Like, I don't think anyone is really taking it seriously other than here's an opportunity to rap about a thing that we're all passionate about.
Yeah.
To someone who was naysaying it.
It was just exciting to see us, like, a bunch of us get to
it. I was...
it's actually really kind of wonderful. I watched it a few times, and I got to tell you, for something that was pulled together, like as hodgepodge as it may have been, it really kind of works in this really wonderful, funny, campy, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, tongue-in-cheek kind of way that is kind of lovely to watch and hear.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Big shout out to MC Hawking, who organized the whole thing.
Oh, did he?
You gotta be pretty old school to like know MC Hawking. He was like one of the original nerdcore guys, and he's been a little dormant for a while, but he's working on a new record now.
Oh, wonderful.
He organized the whole thing. Michael Kill produced the beat and also sequenced all of the verses.
Oh, nice.
Cecil Nick, who
I don't know who that is.
He mixed Sick Passenger.
Oh.
And he mastered Sex Rhymes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He mastered the track, and then MC Hawking collected all of our video clips and edited it, and it all got done.
Wow.
Over the course of a weekend, 13 rappers, and I still can't believe I'm saying that wow. It actually happened. So
that was a
nice little
done.
Unifying moment for Nerdcore. Good job, everybody. And
well
congratulations
done.
To Susan Cole. And also thank you to Susan Cole, because you inadvertently brought us all together and made us all work together on something for the first time in years. And that's a very special thing that happened.
If there was an event or some sort of music festival for pop culture friendly music, I hope she gets invited as some kind of like guest of honor.
Oh, if only there were something like that, like an annual music festival for nerdy. All right.
I know. So that video will be in the show notes as well. Check it out.
Oh.
We both created music videos this weekend.
Yes. That's what we did.
They both dropped at the same day.
Yes, they did.
And I had no idea you were doing it. You had no idea I was doing it. Wowzers. Are we the same person?
No.
Okay, good. Good, good, good.
But I am the white, untattooed version of you. No, there's so many we haven't mentioned this in a while, but it's still so just kind of inexplicable that we are besties, because other than our pop culture interests,
yeah.
and a lot of our just sensibilities,
sure.
and attitudes
on
about
paper,
things,
this shouldn't work.
No. Nothing in common.
We have a lot in common. What are you talking about?
Well, mostly pop culture and sensibilities and sort of many things about our belief systems. But,
sure.
But once you strip that away,
no,
like,
we actually our ethics and moral value systems are
sure.
pretty much in line.
I'm a drug addict.
Not well.
You are a drug virgin. I'm a musician.
Yeah.
You're a misspelled musician.
Oh, fair enough. I see what you did there.
I guess I named actually more things that we have in common than I did differences.
Yes,
so,
yes, you
I,
did.
All right.
Yes, you did.
I will go with I am the white non-tattooed version of you.
But you were consuming some ethnic pop culture media recently. How's that for a segue?
Fucking great.
Yeah,
that's fucking great. Yeah. Last month, Nelson showed up late to the program.
Yes,
and when
yes.
he showed up, he spent most of his time chiding me for not having watched Get Down.
I was not
Netflix.
Chiding you at all. You had white guilt.
Let me tell the story
okay,
the way I remember.
Fair enough. Go for
and
it.
You chided me because I had not enjoyed, because
uh-huh.
as I went on and on about how many times I've watched Stranger Things,
yeah.
but I had not yet watched The Get Down on
sure.
Netflix. I begrudgingly
conceded the points.
Conceded and agreed at
uh-huh.
the end. All
uh-huh.
right, I'll check it out.
Sure.
So I watched it entirely between the night we recorded
uh-huh.
and the night that the episode aired.
Oh,
and I
wow.
was disappointed that I couldn't go in and like edit the episode and say, hold on, you guys, I watched The Get Down, because it was great.
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't get enough of it.
That's so good.
It's 6 episodes. First one's 90 minutes. The rest
yeah.
of them are an hour.
Yeah.
I just gobbled it up, just shoving handfuls
really?
Of it into my mouth. There's so much good music and
so
history
much good music.
And it's just, there's so many stand up and cheer moments. Like this band of kids in 1977, the
yeah.
Bronx,
yeah.
putting together the hip hop crew, this other group of kids who are like, she wants to become a disco star with her friends
yeah.
and the music industry and the disco scene, and drugs and crime and political corruption. I just gobbled it all up.
And, it's so
and,
much.
And when all of the musical numbers are so spectacular and the big finale musical number, I stood up and cheered. I was watching it by myself and I stood up and was pumping my fist in the air. When the episode was over, I rewound it just to watch the closing musical sequence again.
Yeah.
The Get Down was excellent. And it's if you really, are like me really and good. You're an asshole who has slept on it, you really should fix it. It's fun. It's like, and like you said, it's not perfect.
No, it's got a couple of things that bug me about it.
I read some stuff about it and read that it was one of the most expensive television productions ever.
Really?
Yeah, because of Baz Luhrmann. Because huge production values.
Sure.
It was incredibly expensive to make, but it was also an incredibly troubled production.
I've heard rumors of that
too.
They
were writing, they were doing rewrites on set.
Yeah.
Actors were working incredibly long hours. Sure. I mean, it was supposed to be more episodes than six, but they eventually like had to throw in the towel and say, you're out of money, wrap this up.
Yeah.
And they chopped it down into six episodes.
You know, and I think that's one, I have maybe two major beefs and a half beef with it. And one of my major beefs is it feels truncated.
Yeah.
It really does feel like there was more stuff that was supposed to happen. And which leads into the other big beef I have in that, as wonderful it is, there's too many moments of tell and not show, where they're telling you something is important rather than showing you something is important. And I think where it shows up the most for me is with Ezekiel's mom. Like, you hear this, you hear him talk about, and other people talk about how his relationship with his mom has really informed him as who he is as a person, but you never see the relationship between him and his mom.
What, do you want a flashback?
Yes.
It would have to be, because...
Don't tell me it's important. Show me how it's important, you know?
I feel like that kind of underscored his sense of loss. Spoilers, Ezekiel's mom is not alive.
Right. And well, neither is either of his... Or I don't think he knew his dad, but his mom has definitely passed away.
Right.
Yeah.
In an early moment, he writes... He's an aspiring rapper.
Yeah.
But this is word rapper.
No, he's an aspiring poet.
Yes.
Is really what he is.
Well, he becomes an aspiring rapper or an aspiring wordsmith for
a wordsmith, yes.
But like, there's a scene in his classroom where he reads his poem that... or he doesn't read this poem that he wrote about his mom. And I don't know. I kind of thought that worked. Like, not seeing all of that, like, you have to share in his loss. Like, you don't get to have those experiences with his mother. You just have to take his words, which he is entirely of his words.
Yes.
You have to take his words to tell that story. And I never felt like I was like robbed of his lot, his sense of loss.
No.
I felt it.
No, yes, absolutely. No, I mean,
great lyricist.
The story centered around the loss of his mom is real and visceral, and I felt it too. But again, I guess it just goes back to, it feels like there should have been more, and it feels like it's been truncated.
I
think a lot of the stuff that got left on the cutting room floor because of budget and time might have been the flashback scenes with his mom.
Oh, that yeah.
You know,
well, maybe, I mean, there's still, if they get a second season,
I doubt it too,
but I really hope they do.
I really hope they do, because I want to see where this crew is headed, because the entire series is also told in a flashback, because at the beginning of every episode, there's like this, I don't know, this Jay-Z, this. Like, basically, we're watching a concert
in the 90s of a big name stadium concert rapper,
right? And he's retelling the story of how he got started via music, via rap,
who is played by a different actor, but he's voiced and rapped by Nas. Which is great, because it doesn't have the same intro for every episode.
No,
it's like he's telling a story, but you get like different little bits of it works so well.
It works so well.
I also really like, just for me personally, I, as somebody who has an incredible fascination with both 9/11 and the World Trade Center. I don't have a fascination. All right, I should take that back. I have a fascination with the World Trade Center.
Yes,
not with 9/11. I'm not a 9/11 conspiracy theorist.
No.
I'm fascinated with those buildings.
Yeah,
and that's why I love things like Man on Wire.
Sure, anything
that like pays homage to
old downtown New York. Yeah.
Yes, there's a scene in The Get Down where Ezekiel goes to an interview for an internship.
Oh, right, you were telling me about this. Yeah,
and he goes to the World Trade Center. All of the interiors of the World Trade Center are shot in the skyscraper where I go for my day job.
Nice.
And have for years. So he's like walking, rushing through these hallways, and I'm like, that's where I walk rushing every single morning, because I haven't been on time for work in like 2 years. So that was kind of special for me. I didn't really want to spend another episode talking about this. You talked about it last month saying watch it. I just really wanted to say, hey, Nelson,
yeah,
boy, were you right. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's excellent.
No, it is. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm definitely rooting for it for a second season, but it seems unlikely.
Not holding that breath.
Yeah. It seems unlikely.
I enjoyed that a lot. And then immediately upon finishing that,
yeah,
was when Netflix dropped Luke Cage.
Oh, right.
New Marvel.
I have not watched it yet. Yeah.
Then I won't say a lot about
it. Okay, yeah.
I will say that it's excellent.
Good.
I loved it. It's also not perfect.
Okay.
I feel it drags a little in the middle, in the last third.
How many episodes?
13.
Oh.
It's like all of the Marvel Universe.
Okay.
Shows on Netflix. It's 13 episodes.
So like the basically the second act is a little draggy.
Yes.
Okay.
But it's not imperfect. It's just some things, like they'll do a thing, they'll spend like a long time doing a thing, and then it didn't work. So they have to spend a long time doing the next thing when you feel like you're kind of padding an episode. But it doesn't matter because there's such a rich world. Uh-huh. It's first one of these Marvel Netflix shows. It doesn't take place in Hell's Kitchen. This one's set in Harlem.
Okay.
And, you know, there's...
Wait, okay, well, yes, Daredevil takes place in Hell's Kitchen.
Jessica Jones takes place in Hell's Kitchen.
That's true. Yes, yes, yes.
In this mythical Hell's Kitchen that isn't like...
the entirety of
Manhattan. A bunch of rich white people in farmers markets because...
That's exactly what it is now.
Hell's Kitchen is not the gritty hellscape.
It's also
was in the 80s. It's not now.
It's also basically a 5-block radius.
Yeah.
It's not big.
It's a small neighborhood.
It's a small neighborhood.
That you, if you are listening to this show, will never be able to afford to rent in.
Nobody. Yes, exactly.
Or if you're hosting this show, you will never be able to afford to live in.
No.
But anyway, it's got, there are some great characters. Uh-huh. I was surprised how much I liked it. I never read Luke Cage books. I liked him as a supporting character on Jessica Jones, I didn't think he was like compelling enough for a whole show, but I still gave it a shot.
He wasn't really utilized very well in Jessica Jones.
No, he was utilized in a lot of awesome sex scenes in Jessica Jones.
Yes, he was.
This series,
he was very much a two-dimensional character in Jessica Jones.
He is an amazing, fascinating character
his
standalone, and world is populated by incredible supporting cast of amazing characters.
Can I ask a question?
An incredible soundtrack. There's some great action. There's some great like kind of cop drama stuff.
Ooh.
There's romance. There's a lot going on. Even with my little complaint about it dragging a little bit in the last act, I still absolutely loved it.
Oh, good.
Absolutely.
Good. That's a glowing... I was going to watch it anyway.
It's got the best celebrity cameo of a celebrity playing themselves I've seen. Fuck. I think I've seen since Bob Barker made that cameo in Happy Gilmore. It's the best one.
Don't tell me.
You see the actor and you're like, oh, that's so-and-so. And then like somebody looks at him and is like, hey, you're so-and-so. And you're like, oh, shit, he's playing himself. This is one of the most excellent things I've ever seen.
Uh-huh.
Is that like in the show, it's very, you know, gritty, grounded reality.
Oh, absolutely.
And he doesn't wear like the costume he did in the 70s because that would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Instead, he's just like it couldn't be any more timely and poignant than he's a bulletproof black man who wears a hoodie.
Yes, I've read some headlines that talked exactly about that.
There is an episode where they acknowledge you remember the ridiculous costume he wore in the 70s where he was like basically a disco costume?
Yeah, the yellow shirt.
Yellow shirt.
With a chain belt.
Chain belt and a silver headband and bracelets.
Yeah, yeah.
They acknowledge that costume in such a brilliant way that it deserves a round of applause.
Nice.
They acknowledge it without ever using it.
Nice.
And
it's
just brilliant.
Jessica Jones also has one of those moments too.
Yes.
Where they acknowledge her old costume and Jessica Jones is like, I'm not wearing that. Yeah. Fuck you.
This is what I would say about, I don't know why I'm reaching across the room at you. What I would say.
Why are you pointing at me violently?
I feel really powerful.
I know you are. You feel like
it's such a good show.
Okay.
If I ranked how much I enjoyed the 4 seasons of Marvel shows on Netflix so far,
sure,
I would rank them as such. My favorite, Jessica Jones. Second, Luke Cage. Third, Daredevil season 1. Fourth, Daredevil season 2.
Really?
Yeah, I really like Luke Cage.
It's that good.
It's really good.
Wow. Okay. Okay, the only reason why I haven't watched it yet is because October is my busy month and I just don't have any spare time. After Halloween, I'm going to have some spare time and I'll binge watch the entire thing over a weekend.
It is a busy month for you.
It is. It's a. I am crazy, crazy busy.
Crazy busy.
But I'm really excited to watch Luke Cage because, you know, and I think I've told this story before. Like a lot of kids have stories where they find, you know, like their parents like porn stash in the back of a closet somewhere.
Yeah.
I found my dad's giant box of comic books in the back of the closet.
I remember.
And he has, he had basically old school Marvel. I mean, old school for him, Marvel. Mm-hmm. And just a shit ton of Power Man and Iron Fist comic books.
Damn.
Just a veritable shit ton. And so when I was growing up, I was reading Power Man and Iron Fist alongside with Batman and all of his old Spider-Man and Defender comics and all of my Flash and Superman comics. And so a lot of that intermingled in my memory, childhood memories. So I'm really excited to watch this.
Because, I'll bet.
You know, because I will probably get a lot of the winks and nods that a lot of people won't.
There's a lot of them. And you there know? Are a lot of, I mean, I did a lot of Marvel Wikipedia-ing afterward to see how many of these characters came from like,
Yeah.
From Luke Cage, Power Man canon.
Yeah.
And it's a lot.
I'm a little sad that there isn't a reference to Iron Fist, to be honest.
Well, Iron Fist is the next series that comes out.
No, I know. And then
Defenders.
I know, but I kind of
wanted like a little crossover.
Maybe for like one episode. I just kind of, because their relationship as friends and business partners is the whole reason why that book was such a massive success.
Maybe they're going to save that for Luke season two.
You know what? One can only hope.
Yeah. I don't think this is a spoiler, but the one character who so far has tied all of these series together, she shows up.
The nurse.
Claire, yes.
Yeah.
Claire. Rosario Dawson.
No, but she actually has a Marvel's like superhero code name, like Night Nurse or something.
Yeah, she's Night Nurse.
Yeah. I love that it's all in the same universe, and I love that there's a reoccurring character in all of them.
I'm at the point, I think Luke Cage was the one that made me go, Marvel small screen is winning me over.
Killing it.
I think I care more about this than I do another Avengers movie or another Thor movie.
I am not excited about another Marvel movie, to be honest. Maybe a Guardians of the Galaxy. I want to see that, but
you're not thrilled about Doctor Strange?
I don't know.
He's a magic wielder.
I know, and I do have a soft spot for comic book magic wielders, and I do love Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm going to go watch it, and I'm hoping to be pleasantly surprised.
I think maybe it's not just necessarily what they're doing with these characters versus what they're doing with the big screen. I think maybe I'm just, my tolerance for movie storytelling isn't what it used to be. And I think I'm growing more and more accustomed to episodic storytelling because you can do a lot more with nuance, and everything doesn't have to end in a gigantic
explosion,
20-minute CGI apocalypse.
Yeah. I think, you know what? I'm right there with you. I think I'm getting blockbuster fatigue.
I don't need them like shoving in a fuckload of action figures at the halfway point in the story when you have 13 episodes to slowly introduce and build and develop these characters make me give a shit.
Yeah, I want to savor the moment. I want to get to know them. I want to get to know them. You know, I don't want to be told their origin story in the first 5 minutes and then basically have everything crammed down my throat for the next 2 hours.
Avengers Age of Ultron would have worked so much better as a 13 episode TV series than it did as a 3 hour movie.
Yes.
Because it was just,
it was a hot mess.
It was
a hot mess.
Exhausting.
It was a hot mess. All right, awesome. Lots to look forward to. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Watch that shit.
I haven't really been consuming a whole lot because, again, I've just been so busy. But I've been feeling really weird lately. Like, weird even for me, weird. Like, I have been, at least in the past month or two, the most prolifically creative thinking on my part. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm like, my brain is pouring out nonstop ideas for like magic tricks and stories and shows and circus stuff, and my notebooks are just getting full and full and full of all of these ideas, and I am all gung-ho with pre-planning and gathering materials and gathering resources and props and all that stuff. And then somewhere along the line, I hit a wall and it just peters out and I have zero follow through. And I'm just, I haven't really experienced this before in my life. Like, usually I have like, it's either three phases, right? Like, I'm okay. I'm generally happy and content and life is going along swimmingly. Mm-hmm. Or there's that middle ground where I'm very productive. I'm a productive member of society, But, you know, it's I'm basically just kind of living day to day, right? Mm-hmm. And then I have, like, depression, right? Or blues or blah and down. This feels weird because I feel like my brain is thinking more creatively than I ever remember being. Mm-hmm. And I'm setting up all of these ducks in a row, if you will, if you'll pardon the metaphor. Mm-hmm. And then I either lose interest or I get distracted with something and there's like no follow through. Like I don't actually finish any of these ideas. And so I'm just feeling weird. I don't know what that is.
It sounds to me like your artistic life is doing an impression of your love life.
You never fail to
am I wrong?
I don't know.
Okay.
Please explain.
I don't know. I'm not going to. I don't know what to take, but that state of like kind of confusion where you have like these flurried moments of like of inspiration and ideas,
sure.
And then but then very little on the execution end of it,
right?
Or
follow through or finish or
ambition to do execute.
Yeah,
you just keep coming up with the ideas is a pretty apt description of like most of my career. And I'm not, the first one was a punchline. This one's like serious. I just carry notebooks that are just full of ideas that I'm just not going to execute.
Yeah.
That, and I find difficulty finding the motivation to like actually see anything, any of these things through to fruition. I don't know.
That's been your creative life so as far as you can remember, right?
But this is new for you.
Brand new.
It sounds, I don't know. Every time you have any kind of problem, I suggest therapy because that sounds a little like, it sounds a little manic depressive.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little bipolar. Like have these upswings where you're getting manic and you're full of ideas and inspiration and you feel joy from that.
Sure, sure.
You feel inspired and having the ideas and writing down notes of the ideas feels good. It's nourishing your soul because you're like, I'm thinking, I'm creating.
Yeah.
I have things that I can do.
Right.
Then when you find yourself in the position where you can go through this list and start executing them, then it's nothing but like dread and everything becomes daunting and you're like, why? I can't do any of this, or I don't want to do any of this, or I don't know how to do any of this.
Oh, wait,
which is when you're on the downswing of the depression.
Are you telling me I'm manic? Am I actually manic? Is that a?
I don't know. I don't know how mental health works. I've only been in therapy for 4 years. Ask me when I've been in therapy for 8 years, and then I'll answer.
I guess I don't know. Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess it's time for me to seek out a therapist.
Now is time.
Yeah.
Anyway. I don't know if like manic depression is something that develops later in life or if it's something you have the whole time because again,
I don't want to make excuses for my mental health, but all I'm saying is it feels weird and it's brand new. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you still have ideas, so you are not all is not lost.
No. And I mean,
could be just a block because.
Oh, that's true. That could also be.
Because blocks come in many forms.
That is also true.
And they evolve over the years. So maybe this is just a new version of it that you haven't had before where you're like, but I have ideas. I just can't execute them. It's just a different
kind.
Well,
it's also, that's not how my creative process works. Like I basically get a nugget of an idea and then I sit on it for a really long time as it evolves in my brain. And ends up becoming a thing eventually that's almost unrecognizable from the original nugget of the idea because I've been developing it in my own brain and my own process for so long.
Right.
This seems new in that I'm coming up with what I think is really damn good ideas. Not all of them are feasible, but they're still good ideas. But the ones I can execute on, it's like effort and work and things.
I don't know what to tell you. Oh wait, yeah, I do. Therapy.
Okay, well, you know what, if you have a therapist you like that you'd like me to introduce to me, please shoot us an email at epicpodcast@gmail.com.
that is epicpodcast@gmail.com. I have an excellent therapist and I am not going to recommend her to you.
No, I don't want your therapist.
Good, because she knows so much about you.
Oh dear.
I feel it would be a conflict of interest.
Yeah, I don't think she would take me as a client.
She knows a lot about you. This is not a joke.
I'm uncomfortable. Let's move on to the interview now, please.
Oh, have you had enough of this?
Yes. I don't want to continue.
Did it get
this.
A little too real?
I don't like this. Let's talk about other things, please.
Let's talk about something that you like.
Okay, what's that?
So, well, we're not going to do it now. We're going to do it in our interview.
Well, let's tell them what we're going to talk about.
No.
No?
We're going to introduce it.
It's probably going to be in the show notes, by the way.
It's going to be in the title. Folks, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back in just a moment.
Losers, in other words.
Well,
I think... Sure. No, I'm teasing you.
Shuck on it, Trebek. Shuck it long, and shuck it hard.
Trebek, Trebek, Trebek. You can suck it, Trebek, Trebek, Trebek.
I'd like to buy a vowel. Oh. We're the misfits of which you've run afoul.
Bro.
I double dare you to press your luck with us and our crew. Let's make a deal or no deal, you brought this family
feud. Please forgive the vitriol, because we get a bit bombastic when it comes to Jeopardy. Well, I prefer Dan Patrick. Call us losers, then backtrack it like you didn't really mean it on a show that's made for geeks. So what you think, we wouldn't see it?
Yo, Alec, grab at you, best check your neck. You got no respect for the nerdcore set. Why, we don't forget, we've been known to forget. So if you genuflect, we might let you live.
Yo, I heard you called the squad nothing but losers. Well, the only thing I lost was a couple of tumors. While we on the subject, I think you lost your mind. Like your mustache, man, you really crossed the line.
Seems ill-advised to diss a group of backpack rappers. Flip the script, bunch of fans of black hat hackers. I'm the IT manager, party go daily double. Where I'm part of your MCs is bursting the bubble.
I used to come to Jeopardy to learn more stuff. Now you best to not be messing with my nerdcore buds. Ride away if you can catch it, grab a surfboard, love. Oh, we stole your demographic. There's a turf war, bruv. They said you calling me a loser. That's news to me. Oh, you mad you lost more viewers than there used to be. You mad I'm brighter than some fireworks from Jubilee. And I do math while spitting fire rocket 2 degrees.
Double degrees are daily double to the maximum. Pocketbook conducted in the platinum. Whitey crack the hack in them. The fact that I'm still defending fans when they laugh at them. Cool, cool. Let them know how nerd life attacking.
Something tried, never forgot. Knowing losing isn't an option. The greatest undefeated champion of the game, his name is Watson. Up in the news, dropping the clues, setting the record with a new score.
The coolest rapper ever.
Who is dual core?
Trebek, you're not as clever as you endeavor to seem. Hope somebody scribble loser on the podium screen. Doubling your daily diss dose, cause you're just that wrong. You still look weird without your mustache on.
And you haven't worn it for a while. But it still looks weird. Put your mustache back on.
What is a bully? A phony? A know-it-all with all the answers? Who is full of baloney? And only always condescending? Who's the meanest Canadian? Plus the cheapest comedian? Who left his lane and jumped the median? We're only teasing him. The reason I'm reacting isn't that you called us losers. We are. We base the genre on it. Flaws can all be used as PR. But you were rude to Susan. And it goes to show her that you're dope. Alex, really a joke. You host a trivia show,
and what
Alex.
Did you expect when you're making funny guests? Dreadful smiles that you wreck. Here's a song for you, Trebek. But I'm really not upset. In fact, I'm quite surprised. The first press that we've gotten since when? 2005?
Alex Trebek, you lost a lot of respect. I gotta check you off the rip for coming out of your neck. Talking sideways about nerds, you a trip. Guess you hadn't heard geeks make up half of your viewership. Nerdcore is home to some serious lyricists. I'll break it down in a format you're familiar with. This host gets posted on SNL yearly. Host a show for nerds and doesn't know that, clearly. No one likes to know it all. Condescending, blow hard. Easy to be snarky when you're holding all the note cards. Susan got the last laugh and the cash. You're good at any show, it's a lifetime pass.
Georgie, you should start thinking before you speak. Your achievements are watching smarter people succeed. But losers, my dudes, maybe he wasn't wrong. Cause we did spend all day making this freaking song.
I mean, I'm not the only one who sees this as weird, right? I mean, this is weird even by our standards.
Trebek, Trebek, Trebek. You can suck it, Trebek, Trebek, Trebek. And you can suck it, Trebek, Trebek, Trebek. You can suck it, Trebek.
No, I'm teasing you.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest on the show this month is an actor of the stage and screen. She can currently be seen on Fox's Gotham. Please welcome to the program, Leslie Hendricks.
Hooray!
Oh, God, the throngs, the crowds.
Here she is.
Far more people in the studio than you realize.
Hello, Leslie.
It's my entourage.
We were warned by your agent that you'd be bringing a tremendous number of people with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For all of your podcasts.
I
understand the masseuse, but sous chef? Do you really need a sous chef for this?
You never know, you know.
Fair enough.
I could get... You know what?
I'm not an A-lister. I don't know the needs that you require on a daily basis.
I don't know what those needs are either. I'm like below the D-list. That's honestly...
You are selling yourself short. Do not do that.
I shan't. All right.
Now, Leslie, you are currently on the third season of Gotham,
mm-hmm.
and you play a character who is the head of the Court of Owls.
Well, it's never mentioned.
Okay.
It's never mentioned yet. It's a secret.
Let me rephrase
shadow
that.
Shadow organization.
It is a shadowy cabal that controls all of the ongoings in Gotham,
but you may wear owl masks
as of. I guess, yes, they haven't actually said the words Court of Owls yet, have they?
Sorry.
It's just, it's our own.
Okay, so those words haven't yet been said.
No, they
haven't.
But
as readers of the comic book,
yes. We all know what's going on.
And maybe it's a bit much to say that you are the head of it. So far, you are
I'm the face
of this shadowy cabal.
Yes.
So I guess I don't even know where to start. I want to ask, this is going to be hard to do because we're both such big fans of the show.
Yeah.
And I've been a fan of your work for years. And so now to see this intersection of somebody I know performing on a thing that I love
is
a lot for me.
His brain is too big for his skull right now because it's basically like the Grinch's heart.
It's
grown three sizes.
Honest to God, I'm posting stuff on Facebook and I'm just trying to be, you know, as cool as possible as far as like no spoilers, no anything like that.
Yeah.
And immediately, Schaefer is like the first one, oh my God, 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 oh my God.
Really?
So, Schaefer?
I find that hard to believe.
Even more so than my 18-year-old kid. He was pretty geeked out by this. So.
I mean, you have the styling that they do is so elaborate
awesome.
And rich and just beautiful.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And you posted a lot of selfies of it. And so I got excited and was like, oh my God, Leslie's going to be on Gotham. And yeah, there was some point where the shot was just wide enough that I saw this green coat with like a brooch on it, and I was like, oh, I know who you are now. I think that was the moment. Do you have in your career as an actor, do you have a lot of experience playing a villain, or is this your first foray?
It's the most fun. I haven't done this kind of thing in a long time. No, on stage, I mean, you play everybody.
Sure.
Oh, sure.
Everybody.
Yeah.
And on television, I tend to be either the person in a suit or the person with a lot of money, always with the word bitch afterwards. Most of my roles have the word bitch after them. In my head.
Okay.
In my head.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's a lot to talk about.
There's so much.
But I promised when we were talking before we started recording that there was this kind of serendipitous moment that happened right when you got the part.
Yeah, it was like I had just gotten home from being out of town for a month, and I had recently gotten him a couple of Batman books. And
who's him? I'm sorry.
Oh, my son. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
My son.
Okay. Yeah.
And I don't know how the hell he gets all his information. He knows everything about the DC, the Marvel, the whatever, and I'm going, where are you reading these fucking things? They're not in your room. I just, Mom, the internet, I know what I'm doing. Anyway, so he hands over this book to me, and he says, oh my God, this is so great. You will love it. You've got to read this. And it's The Court of Owls. And I went, okay. So I read it, and I was like, no, that was pretty badass. That was pretty great. So, boom, I get this audition for Gotham. Oh, all right. And all they say on the breakdown is corporate killer. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
What do I wear for that? And then when I read over the scene, I went, I got a funny feeling. Nice. And then boom, I got that gig.
Nice.
I know. It was just hysterical for me to be in a geek world and actually look at the sides and go, oh my God, I know who I am. I know who I am. I know how to do this. Okay.
So that book, that was the first trait of the Scott Snyder's New 52 run, where he created this element of the Batman mythos, the Court of Owls.
This new enemy that has forever been there.
This Gotham City Illuminati of sorts.
Yes, which
controls everything behind the
scenes.
Which
is probably the best new... either organized crime or best new villain that Batman's had in a very long time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Hands down.
So, I mean, Gotham has a very specific style and a very specific way it delivers its story. It's kind of over the top, but also grounded in its reality. Yeah. Did you get any special direction or instruction about how to play the character, or did you come to them with ideas and they just kind of went with it?
The latter.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. No shit. Yeah.
Because you knew what you were doing at that, because you had read. Yeah, the
I just went, okay, I don't want to play this person as your standard run of the mill. You know, oh, I'm the evil one who has all the power. And I went, no, go the opposite way. Yeah. So the choices that I've made have been kind of different than that, and so far they've just been like, yeah, okay,
absolutely. Of all the characters in this third season, yours unnerves me the most.
Oh, good.
Because your delivery is so casually confident.
Excellent.
And those are the ones that scare me the most, because they have nothing to fear.
Got it.
Giggling lunatics are like, they're
fun.
They're a dime a dozen.
What's it like playing opposite David Mazouz?
Oh, David.
Yeah. David, sorry.
I know. Well, no, I didn't know either.
Oh, okay.
You know, I showed up and, oh, where's David? David. Oh,
really?
Oh,
okay.
No, he didn't say that.
Oh.
I was told that it's David. Okay.
By his sous chef?
Oh, he's yes! Who just follows him around. The Are you hungry? Are you hungry? Can I get you anything? He's just a doll.
Yeah.
What a nice kid.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So here's the deal.
Sure.
So it's always weird going on to a new set where you're the intruder somehow.
Sure. Like the villain of the week, the flavor of the week.
Right.
Sure,
or just whatever. And it's always different with every show. And this one, boom. Right in, and everybody is so nice.
Yeah. Really?
I'm not kidding.
Oh, like, I love it when I hear that people who do things I admire are nice.
Oh, my God. Every last person that I have had interactions with, nice. Just awesome.
That fills me with joy. Because I hear lots of horror stories from sets of, like, popular TV shows. Yeah, and it sours my experience of watching it.
Yeah.
And so I'm just so happy that you're having a good time
there. And everybody there is just like, I love this. I'm having such a good time. I just love this job. Can you believe this? I get paid to do this.
I read on your Facebook that you kind of you crept up on your co-star, Robin Lord Taylor, at Comic-Con.
I did. I told him I was going to come say hi because he was doing autographs. So I went in on Friday. I've now gotten to the point where one day at Comic-Con is my limit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you used to do the whole weekend? But
yeah. And that lasted maybe 2 years.
Yeah. You and me both, lady.
Oh,
you and me
dude.
Both.
Oh, my God. Saturday is like one of the circles of hell.
Yeah.
It's just a nightmare.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my Lord.
It's not good for anybody.
No. It's no fun.
Yeah.
So I had to wear my gear because I went as Walking Dead, the graphic novel Walking Dead, Andrea.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
So I had my scar. And I had my freckles.
You had your Dale hat.
I had my Dale hat. and I come up to him at the autograph booth, and he looks at me, and he goes, hi, can I help you? What would you like? And I went, And he, honest to God, oh my God, honey! Just didn't recognize me, because I didn't have big, big hair.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a big scar.
Crazy column of hair that you wear on the show.
Crazy. It takes them so long.
Wait, that's your real hair?
That's my real hair.
Wow.
Yeah. They work on it forever. It takes a long time to get that hair that crazy. And the first time when I was on there, I was like, wow, it's kind of big, really? And they're all just looking at me just going, it's Gotham, honey.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and like I said, over the top.
Yeah, yeah. Just big and fabulous.
Is your office, your secret office, where is that? Is that an actual location or is that a set?
That is a location, and we shot it. Well, can I say it? I can say
I don't
that.
Know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I'm not.
Well, of course.
Neither of us have signed contracts with Fox.
Yeah, and I don't know what your NDA describes.
I don't believe I even have one. I just am a real nice person.
Okay. Anyway, we'll store that away for future.
Okay.
I've got questions now.
So we shot it at the Masonic Hall.
Oh, really?
Yeah, wait, no, which one?
The one on 23rd.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Incredibly fitting.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of.
Yeah.
Secret organization filming a scene involving a secret organization.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Yeah.
And the room that we shot, you know, from what you can see from overhead, that great big long table, and I'm walking around the other way.
Yeah.
It's got a freaking, it's a theater.
Oh, there's like a whole balcony.
There's a
whole
balcony. Yeah.
Wait, is all of that there? Like the table is there?
Yes.
That's not a set piece? That's an actual location?
I don't think so. It was all there when I looked it.
So aside from having just read that graphic novel right before you went and got the part,
yeah,
that wasn't anything new to you. You're a Batman fan.
I'm a Batman fan-ish. I can't help it. I'm a hanger-on.
Oh, I don't know. A hanger-on said, I saw The Dark Knight. It was great. And that's their Batman world.
Right.
You have played Arkham games and have posted angry statuses about frustrating moments in the Arkham games. That's
yeah,
a different level of
you're
fandom.
Not a hanger-on, lady.
No, but wait a minute.
You're a Bat fan.
The average bear does not play... Arkham City.
Also, the average bear also doesn't read Scott Snyder's run on the New 52. You're not a hanger-on, lady.
But I've never gotten through all of any of those Arkham games, and I play them on the easiest level, dude.
So does he.
Really? For real?
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
God.
I mean, I play them a lot, and I finish them, so I always start easy,
okay,
and then I get progressively harder when I know what to expect.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I haven't got the patience for that. Because if I get into a boss fight and I can't, like, knock that motherfucker down, it's just like, oh, my God. I don't want to spend 5 days on one goddamn level.
Every video game that I abandon is abandoned on a boss fight. Everyone.
Yeah.
And every now and then I'll go, oh, my God, I paid $60 for that game and I never finished it. Maybe I'll go back to it and load it up and I'm like, oh, this is why I quit, because it's on a boss fight.
I know we spoke about this off mic a little bit, but I want to touch upon it here.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you know in advance about your scene or where the story arc is going?
I don't.
At all?
No, because I'm not in every episode.
Right.
So, therefore, I don't get scripts for the entire season.
So you don't get scripts for anything you're not in?
No.
Could you ask for them? Like, would they give it to you as a courtesy?
I don't know. I mean, at this point, I don't think I don't think it's necessary.
Okay.
Because it's not really that important to who I am and where I think I'm going.
Right. Because you are a separate animal from what's going on there.
Right. Yeah. That's one particular storyline that they are just giving you a little, you know, oop, going to drop that right there.
Yeah.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Now we're going to wait a couple more episodes and, oh, hi, remember me?
It feels like it's going to be like the late season.
Well, they've been leading up to the big reveal or this storyline since like day one.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh no, absolutely.
This is the Court of Owls is tied to the murder of Bruce Wayne's parents. And so this has been his investigation over 2 years has kind of led to this. Along the way, of course, are these distractions where they introduce new colorful giggly characters that have short-lived runs like Theo Gallivan and now the Mad Hatter. But this is one that feels more of a continuous through thread. And along the way, I'll be periodically trying to tap you for information that you shouldn't give us.
But I got none. That's just it.
This interview could very easily descend into just all us being all the time. Chris Farley's character from Saturday Night Live, or remember the one thing that was really awesome.
Wasn't that awesome?
And we'll probably have to come back to Batman, but okay. But I want to talk for a second about a job you had before Gotham.
Yeah,
for many years, you played the cantankerous medical examiner, Dr. Elizabeth Rogers, on Law and Order.
Yes.
You said cantankerous. That makes me so happy.
Oh, good. For a second, I was like, oh, I fucked up. I picked a bad adjective.
Oh, no, that was a good one.
And not just on Law & Order Prime, as it were, but on a number of the Law & Order series.
All of them.
All of them.
All of them.
All of them.
You were on all of them.
Yes.
Nice.
At one point or another.
My
weird part-time job.
I know you've done movies and you've done theater. Was that your first ongoing television gig?
Yeah,
like that was like recurring.
That was like my first real television gig.
Wow! Oh, okay. Oh wow!
Oh yeah. I didn't even have my SAG card.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, for real. I had done background work and that kind of stuff on soap operas when we still had soap operas back in the day.
Yeah,
I'm so old. Oh my god! Oh my god!
We both remember soap operas. So. Woof. You are not that far off.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So they hired me. I didn't even audition for that role. I auditioned to be a lawyer.
Huh.
Oh.
Yeah. And then my agent called and said, okay, you got the job, but you're not going to play the lawyer. And I was like, oh, damn it. That was like a guest star thing.
Yeah.
Well, they want you to be a medical examiner. What? I don't even know what that is. I didn't, so I had to, like, you know, madly, what? I have to deal with the dead people? Okay. So I didn't know what the hell I was doing, at all.
Really?
At all, when I first went.
Which one, were you shooting on the main Law & Order first?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that was the only one.
When you started, that was the
living.
Only?
Yeah, 92. That was the first year that I did it.
Oh, okay.
And they had been going for one season already.
Okay. Oh, so you were that's practically the ground floor.
Yeah, pretty damn close. Yeah, so the first detectives I worked with were Noth and Paul Sorvino.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So I know. So I'm walking onto a set going, that's Paul Sorvino. And I didn't know anything. I have to hit my mark. What is a mark?
Really?
You had to learn everything on set?
Dude, I didn't know anything.
Wow.
About anything. Wow. Nothing. And every time, I didn't even know it was going to be recurring. And a couple of months later, my agent called and said, well, your character showed up in another script. I'm like, cool. But nobody ever, I did that and all the other shows for 19 years.
Uh-huh.
And nobody ever, actually said the words, you're recurring.
Really?
Yeah.
You were just like, you just went gig to gig. Or episode to episode. You'd show up and you'd shoot your stuff and they'd say, bye.
Yep.
And then a few weeks later.
Yep. Or 2 months later.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Wow.
So from year to year, I never knew if I'd have a job or how many episodes I'd be shooting.
Wow.
Or, yeah. It was.
Wow.
Did it get steadier when Criminal Intent came around? Because I feel like you're in almost every episode.
Yeah.
That's the one. There's a high Leslie Hendricks concentration in Criminal Intent. But also, as a related note, Criminal Intent is my favorite Law & Order series.
Oh, there you go.
So that's when it became more regular?
Well, let's see. That started in 2001. So yes, by 2001, it had been fairly regular. Yeah. And then the last few years, I was hardly on the mothership at all, so Criminal Intent was my bread and butter, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, oh, please, kill somebody. Kill somebody.
Body of the week.
And make sure you need somebody to tell you what they ate.
Yes.
Did you prefer when you got to do scenes with Goran and Eames? Did you want to play favorites because you are still friends with cast members?
No, I didn't. I didn't have a preference. For the longest time it was just Vincent and Katie.
Yeah.
And then Noth came back. And he took over half of the, and it was like years since I had seen him, and it was just a different atmosphere. So it was like, oh, cool, it's fun when Vincent's here for one reason, and then it's fun when Noth's here because we just laugh all the time.
Yeah,
that's all we did, just laughed and laughed and laughed, and then did our work.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now with that character, also, I mean, kind of repeating a question that Nelson asked earlier, mm-hmm. did you get to kind of create that character, or did they know the kind of mannerisms and characteristics. You definitely developed that character over 19 years of being on the show. And and there is a presence on screen when Rogers is there. And you know who that character is, and you know that she's just over it.
Yeah.
It's just at the brink of exasperation all the time. Did you, is that you? Did you add that to the character?
Okay, yeah. Here's the deal. All right.
Ooh.
So here's the reason why I don't go out for commercials anymore.
Okay.
Because the usual comment, like the last one that I can remember that I went to go, I put on my monkey suit. I go because I'm always, they never knew what to do with me. So I would go out for spokesperson commercials. And the last one I did, the guy went, okay, you seem a little angry. Can you lighten it up a little bit? And I'm like, wow, I don't know how to do that because I'm in a great mood. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It kind of is like my norm. So so what I think at first was my own intimidation and utter terror and having to remember med speak and not knowing what the hell I was doing, that remembering my lines, not flipping out because Paul Sorvino is there, not freaking out because I don't know what I'm doing, I think that it just, I naturally went back into the don't
curmudgeonly.
That's.
And then they took it and they went, so, oh, that works. Okay.
It absolutely works. It's everything is so sober and grim in all of the delivery. But your character almost provides comic relief by not being comedic. Right. But just by being like, ugh.
It's her job.
She's like eating a banana and talking about lacerations to the face.
Yeah. Never getting enough sleep, not getting paid nearly enough. rotten love life. Just the worst history with men. Poor old Rogers just couldn't.
They really developed her character more over the years. Well, like there's a romantic relationship with Bogosian's character. Is that who it was?
Yeah, but once again, it was just little, here, we'll just throw a little crumb there. Oop, a little.
Yeah.
You know, look at who Rogers really is. But for the most part, like, I've got this whole backstory that is so much fun.
Yes!
And the shit that she would do when she got home after work. And, you know, I mean, just, yeah.
Is she a freak? Is she a...
She was a stoner.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. She'd get home, put the kid
just
to
blaze
bed.
And bake.
The kid who I was obviously pregnant on the mothership.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. There's one. You can hear my great big huge feet clomping on the floor as I'm crossing the floor.
That has to be then the first or second year.
That was in 98.
Okay.
Nobody ever says anything.
Really?
Nothing.
You're never obviously pregnant.
Yes.
Nobody says
but
a word.
But they do all those, like, is it visible? They do all those TV tricks. Are you, like, blocked by the table? No, you're visibly pregnant?
Oh, well, I sure as hell could tell. Because I look like a whale. I'm huge.
But they don't have you, like, carrying a box or something. Things are on TV when you're like, right. We can still tell.
Like, I'm Walking Dead.
Who?
Like, Tara. Tara has obviously been pregnant.
Oh, yeah. Okay, they did a lot of blocking with Tara. And kind of like, it was so obvious on Mad Men when they did it with Peggy.
See, oh my God. I've never watched a single episode of Mad Men.
Oh, it's okay.
Is it all right?
It'll make you really, really angry.
Yeah, no, okay, no.
You will appreciate the attention to detail and some of the storylines, and you'll definitely savor some of the small victories the characters get, but mostly it's just an exercise in being angry at men. Because they're
they're all horrible.
I mean, it's set in the 60s.
None of them are redeemable.
I'll wait until after the goddamn election.
Horrible.
And, you know, I catch my breath and I'm able to go, okay, everything's okay.
Yeah, so. when you're ready to hate men again, then turn on men.
Even then, I still would have a hard time, like.
Hold on. I actually want to backtrack just a little bit.
Okay.
Because a little bit of a backstory here. I'm meeting you for the first time today.
Yep.
Leslie. And it's a pleasure to meet you. Finally.
The feeling is much.
Because I feel like I know you. Because Schaefer cannot stop talking about you.
Wow.
So here's my question.
Y'all?
How do you know Schaefer?
I know Schaefer because... What year was it, dude?
It was 10 years ago.
At least.
Like, it was 2005 or 2006.
Okay. I went out to see a band called Captured by Robots.
Captured by Robots from Captured, San Francisco.
Exclamation
Wait,
point.
Do I know this band?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
It, well, it's a the band is a man. Oh, I'm sorry. You told this.
The band is a man.
Okay.
Yeah, a friend of mine had seen this band and said, yeah, it's kind of a trip. You should go. And during this time, I was taking Mommy's Night out, which was Thursday night.
Sure.
And I would go out and blow off steam.
Yeah.
And so I went to see this band and walked in, and the opening band.
Where was this? Was this San Francisco?
Where the hell was it? No, it was.
I couldn't tell you what the venue is. Yeah, I have.
Was this in New York?
I'll just guarantee that it's not around.
Was it New York?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So I just happened to walk in about halfway through a set, and he did Attack of the Clone Fucker. Because that's the one that, honestly, that was the one that I just went, oh my God, this man is God. I have to meet this man right now.
Oh dear. Oh dear.
I
regret this question already.
Oh, dude, I laughed so hard. I thought it was so fucking smart and funny. I was beside myself. And the other band was really horrible. Yeah. And the conceit was not enough to keep it.
I remember after that, like, it was that show, and I was talking to people afterward, and somebody said to me, hey, great show. The lady from TV really liked you.
The lady?
Because somebody at the show recognized you from Law & Order.
To be kidding me.
That's why I started watching Law & Order. I was like, who is this cast member who liked my raps?
You could have asked your mother.
Then I did. And then she was like, oh, the medical examiner. I know who that is. Yeah, she was a big fan.
Allison, I just immediately.
Oh, yeah. And then
Facebook friends.
And my mom and Leslie became friends online. All right. So you played Rogers for 19 years.
Yeah.
You got to bring Rogers back in a very special episode of Community.
Yes.
What was that like?
That was awesome. You know what? It was awesome because it was just so bizarre, because I'd never done such a bizarre thing before as to, like, okay, I'm going to fly all the way across the country and I'm going to be there for one day and I'm going to shoot this thing and then I'm going to fly home. Who does that? Real actors do that.
I think you have to start just accepting that you're a real actor.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I guess so.
You really are.
There's a body of evidence and a resume that kind of proves the point.
But it always feels like, I don't know. I always feel like I'm 15. You know?
Really?
Yeah.
You still get kind of like
new. You still get like
the lights and the stars and the
and that old feeling of I really don't know what I'm doing. I really don't
Seriously?
Know what I'm doing. Yeah.
You've been at the game a while now.
I've been doing this for 31 years now.
And you still feel like you
imposter,
suckered them.
Imposter syndrome. Really? Yeah. Yes.
Oh, my.
Sure.
Oh, I don't feel so alone anymore.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Oh, please. Oh, my God.
I loved the Community episode. We're both fans of Community.
Oh, absolutely.
And loved the show and loved how much they paid homage to the various pop culture things that they loved so much with such loving attention to detail and goof. And I loved that you played it like it was an episode of Law and Order.
It was
like
straight as an arrow.
Like it was perfect. You played. It was just Rogers. It wasn't like Rogers with a wink.
No,
it wasn't
no.
Rogers tongue in cheek. It was Rogers, and that's like I believed this joke that they were telling.
Yeah,
well, that was the whole point of them having me on the damn show.
How long had it been at that point since you had played Rogers on Law and Order?
Oh my God.
I mean, a year, 2 years?
It's got to be at least a year. See, my brain's like a sieve, man. I can't remember the year that I did that. Well, Dan Harmon wrote me just the most flattering email.
Oh, wow.
Like, asking me to
please
do this.
He just straight up emailed you directly?
He sent it to my agent.
Okay.
And my agent forwarded it to me.
Okay.
And I went, well, I was going to say yes anyway, but now I'm really going to say yes.
Wow.
Yeah, it was just like,
What is it? It's a yam?
It's a yam.
Yes. You delivered that scene. I believed it was a body.
Yeah.
It was, and you, everyone around you is playing it ridiculously in parody, and I think the humor from that scene, the core of it is because you're playing it so straight and everyone else around you is being ridiculous. That's why that scene works and so funny.
Excellent.
I guess we're gushing again.
I knew this was going to happen.
We're gonna
I don't know how much experience you have doing podcasts, but let me tell you about ours. We are really bad at interviewing guests.
Yeah.
We're actually bad at doing the rest of it too, but we're especially bad at interviewing guests. And case in point, us just going like, what was that like?
Well, okay. I've never done a podcast. Wait, so this
stop,
is
stop, stop, stop.
This
stop,
is my...
stop. Hold on. You have never done a podcast before.
Never done a podcast.
Wow.
So I'm. Be gentle.
You got a perfect record going. You've avoided this garbage corner of entertainment.
Garbage.
And now we've pulled you in.
We've sullied you. We've sullied you.
I adore it. I adore it. I listen to podcasts all the
flip. Oh, really?
What do you listen to?
What are your favorite things?
Never Not Funny.
Never Not Funny is good?
Yep.
Oh, that's like one of like a few dozen that's on my list that I just haven't listened to.
Oh, my God. I got to tell you, I was going through a really hard time of it last year, and I started going, I need to look for anything that's going to make me laugh.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
Just anything. So I discovered... I just discovered Mr. Show. Where the fuck have I been? Yeah, right?
No, but that's great.
No, I know it. So I was like,
Mr. Show holds up. Absolutely.
Oh, God. Puts me on the floor. On the floor. But Never Not Funny is like having a bunch of stand-ups just hanging out in your apartment.
Oh, nice.
And they're just hanging out and just riffing with each other. And for some reason, they let me listen. I have nothing to contribute, but they're going, no, it's cool. Yeah. You can hang out.
Nice.
So, yeah. Nice. So that one I listen to a lot. I listen to Undisclosed.
Oh, yeah. I love Undisclosed.
They kind of run the gamut. I go from everything from... Sounds True, which is a new agey sort of a thing, mm-hmm. uh-huh. to Buddha at the Gas Pump, which is more spirituality, and then I'll do the Walker Stalker podcast, and then I'll jump over to, you know, whatever. Radio Lab.
It's almost like you're a real person who does real things.
I know. I go to the bathroom twice a day.
What?
Yeah.
Is Walker Stalker, is that a Walking Dead themed podcast?
Yeah.
You are a big fan of Walking Dead.
I'm like massively.
I've learned that. I mean, I did already bring up that you cosplayed as Andrea from the comic books. Not TV Andrea.
No.
Mouth Scar Andrea.
Yeah.
Still Alive Andrea.
Yeah.
Rick's partner Andrea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this the part of the podcast?
This is the part where you take a knee.
Okay.
How psyched are you for the show to come back?
Oh my God, Jesus!
I can't
Christ.
Even.
No, I know. I know it. I'm so flipping out. I'm like, okay. I've already got a date. One of my best buddies. I'm gonna go back home to deal with more stuff at the house. Mm-hmm. And so one of my best buddies. I just went 23rd. You and me. What's the 23rd? What the hell is wrong with you? Honey, what else happens in October other than Halloween? Oh, Walking Dead. Yeah, duh. I'm going to be there. Okay, all right. So, yeah, I'm massively jacked.
I'm flying
on
the day, and I'm already having, like, I'm flying to Texas for a gig, and when I realized it was that weekend, there was a part of me that for a moment was like, you know what? Maybe I'll say no to this game. Just in case
there's
some sort of flight problem the following day, I'm not going to miss it.
Yeah.
And then I realized I was being ridiculous and that if I get stranded in an airport, I still have a phone. I'll watch it somehow. I'll figure it out.
Well, no, because if you get stranded in an airport, then what you're going to have to do is you cannot go on any social media.
Yeah,
I
can't.
You're completely fucked, basically. Yeah. Were you massively pissed at the...
Cliffhanger?
The hanger?
I was...
Spoilers!
I was at first... But I kind of appreciate them because I can't imagine a bigger cliffhanger.
Yes.
And now, months later, I'm just beside myself with excitement, and now I appreciate that they did that.
Yeah, me too.
Is the cliffhanger less about the zombies and the horrors of human nature in apocalyptic wasteland?
It is about the horrors of human nature. Mm-hmm. They have met the big baddie from the comics.
Yeah, predictable.
Who...
Oh, my God. Throw him out of here.
Right?
Get the hell out of here.
The big baddie from the comics in issue number 100, he met our group of survivors and he executed one of them brutally.
Uh-huh.
That issue came out when I was serving jury duty and I read it, went and sat in the bathroom and cried because it's so brutal. Because when, especially with the books, you really invest emotionally in these characters for years.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so when they go, it's a big moment. And this was a major death.
It was brutal. It was the most brutal brutal. And Kirkman doesn't, I mean, he doesn't fuck around.
No.
He just goes straight for the jugular.
No,
yeah. So, but this was the most horrible. Although, my kid, he goes, I don't know, Ma. I saw worse.
What?
What?
No, where?
Yeah. In the graphic
Vietnam?
Novel, but Lori
and Judith?
Yeah.
That wasn't as brutal.
See, to him, it was.
It wasn't to me.
Not to me either.
No.
I know.
Yeah, I was...
Do you have
I was wrecked. I talked about it in therapy.
Did you really?
Yes. So anyway, so as the TV series, even though it kind of it deviates from the main storyline, it still kind of follows most of the same beats.
Okay.
It just got caught up at the end of last season, and it ended at the moment when the big baddie executes one of them, but they don't show the audience who it is because characters who die in the book sometimes live on the TV show and vice versa,
or they'll
swap out storylines. So it gave us all summer to speculate who's going to get it.
Right.
Is it going to be the one from the book? Is it going to be somebody else?
Or is it going to be
two? Or is it going to be two of them?
Two deaths in one.
Be two. Or is, say, one character going to get executed and another one finally going to lose his fucking hand?
Okay, you've seen that clip then.
Yep.
Yeah. See, I don't think so.
You think it's...
No, I think that's a red herring. I think that's a...
I mean, he took his axe.
No, I know it. I know it.
And he kept saying, right hand man.
I know. And when I saw the clip, I mean, just seeing the name of the clip, right hand man, I went, oh, fuck, no way. No fucking way. Oh, my God.
This is the most inside baseball we've ever been in the history.
It isn't for our audience. It's just for you. Our fans,
stunned.
The people,
you know what?
The people who listen to this show are fans of The Walking Dead. You're the odd man out.
No. You know what? If you're a fan of The Walking Dead, then please write us an email at epicpodcast@gmail.com.
That's epicpodcast@gmail.com.
If you're not a fan and could care less, send us an email at epicpodcast@gmail.com.
You know, tell you what, we'll have a guest on sometime who's a big fan of Doctor Who, and you guys can talk about it, and I'll take a nap.
No, you won't, because I want you involved. That's kind of friend I am.
But that's too inside baseball.
Yeah.
No, fair enough.
And that's a lot of years.
Oh, that's fifth and a half. That's some 50.
Freaking.
50 years. That's a lot of doctors. That's a lot of years.
You know, that's a big commitment at my age. You know what I mean? It's like,
We're not that far off, Leslie.
I'm not ashamed to say it.
You are not nearly as old as you think
I'm
you are.
I'm pretty old.
You are not.
I just look pretty good.
You look...
You've got a lot more wind in your sails and life in you than I do. I have given up.
You know what? A truer statement has never been uttered. A truer statement has never been uttered.
Wow.
You are resplendent, Leslie.
Thank you.
So, obviously, you have more episodes of Gotham coming.
Yes.
Okay, that was my way of trying to get a hint out of you that you're not going to be executed too soon.
As of right now, I have not been killed off.
Okay. Do you have anything else coming up that you want to talk about?
Anything you want to plug? Anything you want to?
No, I'm at Hendrix Leslie on Twitter, and I won't be your friend on Facebook if I don't know you.
Can I be your friend on Facebook then?
Yes, because we know each other now.
Yay!
Okie dokie. And that's about it. My kids in college, I'm happy as a clam. I thought I was going to be really Bart Hoken
for a long time after
he'd left.
Yeah, not really.
No! Sorry. I love him.
Sure.
I love you, kid. I know you're going to listen.
No, you love him. You love him more than he's not there.
But it's...
You also have unfettered access to his comic books now.
Yes,
we're coming over.
Oh, we're going to thumb through so many issues.
Hey, he finally got into Watchmen.
Oh.
Finally.
Good.
All right.
Yeah.
A little late to the party, but welcome.
Pretty great.
Welcome along.
It doesn't matter.
There you go.
There's no expiration date on Watchmen, just like there's no expiration date on Mr. Show.
That is true. Yeah. That is true. I stand corrected.
Leslie Hendricks, we would like to thank you so much for being with us on the program this month.
You're welcome. Thank you. You got me out of the house. I needed to.
Hey, Mark, I got one question for you.
Would you kill me if I turn?
Let's fight
back to back till the end, and let's try not to get bit, cause if you do, I swear on everything you hold dear that you will not become like them. I will dispatch you, in peace you will lie.
But if I don't make it out of this alive,
it's a lie.
Promise me you'll do what you must to survive. As the sky falls, all the world burns. Look me in the eye and tell me, would you kill me if I turned?
So put your back against mine when they breach the fence line. Try to keep a cool head or else it's bedtime. If one bite breaks my skin and lets the virus in, toss me the grenade, I won't hesitate to pull the pin. Will you kill me when and if teeth rip into my flesh? Will you help me rest in peace, not to resurrect? I need you to promise me, swear by everything you hold dear. Are we clear? Look at me when you answer, don't fear. I will do the same for you, put one in your head. Burn your body, won't let them feast, won't be meat for dead. Beast who can't sleep, driven only by the craving for brains to kill the pain. This reign will never end. Now we must run, never rest, lest we become prey. We can never win, so it's best that you know one day you will have to do it. Say you'll do it to me when it's time. Don't wait for a sign. Stick your knife into my mind and just twist.
Just twist
back to back to the end and let's try.
Let's try
not to get bit, cause if you do, I swear on everything you hold dear that you will not become like them. I will dispatch you in peace, you will lie. But if I don't make it out of this alive, this alive,
promise me you'll do what you must to survive. As the sky falls, all the world burns. Look me in the eye and tell me, would you kill me if I turned?
Well, would you do it? Given options, could you choose it? Would you do me in if I were turned into a truant human? Could you shoot the only dude that you have left among the ruins? If ghouls were still pursuing you, could you continue moving through it? Need you to convince me that you're capable of doing this. I need to assure you I would do the same for you. And if you should have to do it once I've risen, and please keep this in mind, that ain't me, it's just a house that I no longer live inside. Like those abandoned homes we broke in and stayed for a while. Ghosts and broken picture frames, dead strangers, frozen smiles. Through every trial, every mile, you've been fearless, even when supplies are running lower than our spirits. Now once this passes and the monsters are defeated too, I know the new world is gonna need you like I've needed you. So if a sick one should ever attack and I turn, do it quick, run and never look back. Let's fight,
let's fight,
back to back till the end and let's try.
Let's try
not to get bit, cause if you do,
I
swear on everything you hold dear that you will not become like them. I will dispatch you in peace, you will lie.
But if I don't make it out of this alive,
this alive,
promise me you'll do what you must to survive. As the sky falls, all the world burns. Look me in the eye and tell me, would you kill me if I turn?
Let's fight,
let's fight,
back to back till the end and let's try.
Let's try
not to get bit, cause if you do,
I
swear on everything you hold dear that you will not become like them. I will dispatch you in peace, you will lie.
But if I don't make it out of this alive,
this alive,
promise me you'll do what you must to survive. As the sky falls, all the world burns. Look me in the eye and tell me, would you kill me if I turned?
Once again, we would like to thank Leslie Hendricks for being our guest on the program this month.
She is both a fantastic actor and a fantastic human being.
Please check her out. She is playing the character of Catherine on Gotham, and Gotham airs Monday nights on Fox.
Yeah.
Court of Owls. They haven't actually said that name out loud on the show.
That's true.
So that just know that she is the head of the Court of Owls.
Yeah.
You'll know. Just if she's tell you what, when you watch the show, you'll hear her voice on this.
Yes.
And then when you watch the show, you'll recognize her voice and you'll be like, oh, that's who you are.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. She's now a villain in a Batman show. But yeah, I guess let's wrap this up. Do you have anything to plug?
I don't.
That was quick.
I am working on rap songs for a number of people. This is the time of the year where I'm still working on this EP with Shell Riley, but this is the time of the year where I have a lot of guest verses that I need to wrap up. And I owe guest verses all over the internet right now. So I'm mostly spending my energy.
You can't say no, can you? You just can't say no.
What? I've got pitched a lot of good projects.
Oh, all right.
I can say no, and I do, but I got pitched a lot of really good stuff this past month.
Oh,
and
good.
So I'm
good,
really good. Busy working on stuff that's going to go on other people's records, but eventually I will finish up that EP with Shell Riley, and at some point in the future, I will get back to work on Junk Drawer 2. It's coming. Boy, that thing took a hard knee. It took two knees, and now it's asleep.
I'm taking a nap.
What about you, Nelson? Do you have anything to plug?
I am doing a whole veritable fuck ton of shows over the next few months, and nobody can come see it because they're all private gigs.
Oh.
But I still am doing Trivia Tuesdays at Wolf Tones Pub in New York City.
That's Wolf Tones Pub in New York City.
Yes. Trivia Tuesday. It's every single Tuesday, 7:30 p.m. It's free to play, and there are fantastic prizes to be won. Other than that, I got a whole lot of nothing.
Great.
Yeah. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Thank God.
This has been the Epic Podcast, episode 48. I have been your host, Nelson Lugo.
I have been your other host, Shape of the Dark Lord.
Be safe, internets.
Bye.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Epic Podcast. We'd love to listen to you, too. So send us your feedback, questions, love mail, hate mail, recipes, and fan fiction to epicpodcast@gmail.com. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network. And there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. If you like what you've heard, please rate and review us on iTunes. Like and follow us on SoundCloud and Audioboom, or subscribe and stream on Google Play. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and more, visit nerdyshow.com. And be sure to follow Nerdy Show and the Epic Podcast on all of your favorite social networks. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.
Leslie, thank you so very much. You are by far the most famous person we've ever had on this show. So thank you. Thank you for being here.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you for having me.
Also, it's just nice to have some company, you know, because we didn't have a guest last month. When we don't have guests, we don't see people.
That's
ever.
Awesome.
I don't see anybody ever were it not for our guests.
Do you not have friends in New York?
No, I have friends. We have lots of friends. It's just that we don't do anything anymore. We don't go out because the world is so disappointing and crushing and soul-destroying.
That is almost unbelievably bleak.
Wait. Hold on. This sounds awful.
Shut up, Lugo.